far west and the north country of British Columbia, where the Furnett family resides. Today we have the privilege of hearing our brother Ken Furnett speak to us, and his subject is entitled, Our Christian Thinking. Brother Ken.
Thank you, Brother Gorecki. As we look on the clock, we find that it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we've had a wonderful meal. I don't know how you feel, but I would sure like to change the topic of my discourse to sleeping Christians. Sister Carmelita, LaVon, Charlene, Arburn, Risa, and I are happy to be with you at another general convention. We'd like to bring you the love from our Vernon class, also the special love from Brother and Sister Sid Jones, who are at present at our home, and they plan to make their home in the Okanagan Valley. We also have special love from the Kurutsky family at Kenora, Saskatchewan, the central part of Canada, and also from their family, Sister Darlene and Brother Andy, and also their daughter Debbie. I, at this present time, would like to thank the staff of Albion College for the facilities, for the comfort they have shown us to make our stay more pleasant. I would like to thank the convention committee for the program arrangement. We'd like to thank the committee of the Young People's Program. The subject I have chosen, we hope it will be stimulating and motivating in our minds in our Christian walk. Because many of you have been planning this convention since last year, and so here you are. And there are those who wish and hope to be here and cannot be here because of certain circumstances. There are those we hope to see here are no longer with us, who have passed on, and we miss them dearly. There are those who used to attend this convention, they used to be the highlight of the general convention. They're no longer with us. But we're happy for them. We're happy for the steps that they have taken in their lifetime, because their thoughts was always upon the truth and its witness work. And so as we have consecrated, our thinking is being funneled in one direction. It's the truth, it's witness work. We look for means and ways that we can proclaim the gospel message. And so the place we have in the kingdom of God, brethren, will depend upon our thinking. And the ability to think is important because it is one of the things which constitute man, an image of his Creator. You know, the scriptures often mention God's thoughts. I think it was brought in one of the prayers yesterday. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And so we see then that God thinks. And when he created man, he gave him the power to think. And man's thoughts are not as high as God's. Nevertheless, they are important. And so we find that when God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, he did not give them the ability to think. But when he created man, man was given the ability to think. God also created the mountains. They haven't got the ability to think. The lakes, the waters, the seas. And so also when he created the lower animals, he did not make them in his own image. But we realize they do have some power of thought, but it is not the same as man's. And so Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 1:18, he tells us, "Come now, let us reason together." And so we find that this power to think is very important. And the reason I say that, because it follows of what Brother Hersher had talked about this morning on sanctification. And that's the thought. Our thinking is funneled into that direction. We find that the entire universe grew out of thought. Sometime in the past, God had a thought that he would create a universe, that he'd make the stars and the worlds, that he would create trees and plants, that he would make angels, cherubim, seraphims, that he would make different kinds of living creatures, and that he would create men to have dominion over them. And so God began the process of creation, and all things came from that original thought, the power of thinking. And so everything that man has done has begun with a thought. And so we cannot too highly appreciate the value of thought, because Paul tells us that we must think on these things. And this is taken out of Philippians 4, verse 8, that our discourse is based on this scripture. And so, my wife always tells me, Sister Carmelita, when you give a discourse, why don't you use illustrations? Well, I'm kind of bad for that. I look for illustrations many times. But on my way down here from home, we traveled 2,350 miles, and it gave me plenty of time to think. So as we went along Interstate 90, as we looked at the different fields, the beautiful plantations, and then a thought came to my mind. Maybe that might be a good illustration, and I'll try and share it with you, because I think it'll help me in my consecrated life. And to use an illustration, as we travel along the highway, we see beautiful fields. We see beautiful gardens. And I can't help but apply these gardens into our minds. Now, we're all raising crops. You sisters grow gardens, I'm sure, flowers and etc. And so the crops that we grow in our garden, we will call that character. And so, as we drove through the country, we find a farmland overgrown with weeds. We've seen this along Interstate 90. And it is very unsightly. And so, we look upon ourselves as some of the characters are neglected. Just like the neglected farms. They're overgrown. All right, what are they overgrown with? We say they're grown weeds, yes. What would that picture? Well, I felt it would mean we're overgrown with malice. hatred, envy, and strife. And so it becomes polluted. And then as we drive along the road, we find a farm that everything is in excellent order. And we have seen that very beautifully. The rows of corn, beautiful straight rows. Why, if you took a rifle and took a shot, it would just be perfect. And not only that, but they're free of weeds. They're well cultivated, well maintained. And so we also find the buildings are nicely painted. And so we are impressed with the beauty of the farm. And so it is with us as individuals. We see a beautiful straight row of humility, another one of meekness, and still another one of forbearance, long-suffering. And we can see godliness growing, together with faith, brotherly kindness. And it is indeed, brethren, like a well-ordered garden. And so in our journey, as we went along, we found still another kind of a garden or another kind of a farm. We find that the larger part was overgrown with weeds, and yet in one section is a patch of corn. It was well kept, growing very nicely. And you can notice here what a contrast that patch of corn presents with the rest of the farm. And so it is with our characters. They seem like that farm. It is overgrown with weeds. But despite their ungodliness, their pride and selfishness, they have a measure of sympathy, as it were. And so how refreshing this is amidst the unsightly surroundings. And so we are all like those gardens. Our minds, our intellects are like the fertile soil, productive of character. And this is a thought, brethren, expressed by Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:9. He says, "Ye are God's husbandry." And I felt that that really fits in beautifully. And so we find in every garden, seeds must be planted in order to grow a crop. And so the seeds from which our character grows are our thoughts, our Christian thinking. The apostle suggests this in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. He says, "Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap." And then Jesus told us in the parable of the sower who went forth to sow, and he says, some seeds fell by the wayside, some fell upon stony land, stony places, some upon ground, and he brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then Jesus explained that the seed represented the Word of God. The Word of God, what is it? The Word of God is God's thoughts recorded for our edification. Now concerning this, we read in Psalms 139 and verse 17. The psalmist tells us, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God." And so we find that in the Bible we have God's words or thoughts concerning the creation, the sin, the men, the angels, and then what God thinks about the willfully wicked, the redemption of our race. He thinks about the resurrection, the restitution. And so as we take these thoughts from the Bible and we plant them in our hearts, in our minds, what happens? They bear fruit. And so we find that there are two kinds of thought seeds which we may plant in a garden of our minds. There is good and there is the bad seeds. They may be planted in a literal garden. Now good thoughts produce what? patience, gentleness, kindness, temperance, godliness. What happens with bad thoughts? They produce very different kind of a character, don't they? One which manifests itself in ungodly, such as envy, malice, hatred, strife. And this is difficult, because this is the kind of character that stirs up in me, and this is the lesson I hope that I can improve my character, improve my garden. And so planting these seeds, these thoughts in our minds, however, is not all that is necessary in order to have them grow and produce peaceable fruits of righteousness. We find that the good seed planted in our minds must have proper care. And I'm sure your sisters know that as you plant your flower gardens. It must have sufficient water. It must have sufficient sunshine, fertilizing, cultivating. And so this we do, not only by continuing to think upon the thoughts of God, but also by efforts to put those thoughts into action so that our words and our deeds may be godlike. There's quite a different situation presents itself, however, in connection with the garden, because the bad thought seeds which we allow to enter into our minds, such as thorns, thistles, weeds, they seem to grow without any special attention. Didn't you have that same experience? You don't have to do nothing to your garden, and why, it'll produce a beautiful crop of dandelions. You don't have to cultivate them. You don't have to water them. They'll bloom beautifully. And so man in his imperfect fallen state is prone to sin. And so, in other words, the evil thought seeds will need to be rooted out. Otherwise, they will grow even though uncultivated. They will flourish in our minds unless every possible effort is made not only to uproot them, but to keep the space left by their uprooting filled with God's thoughts. And you know, seed produces its own kind. A little dandelion plant in one corner of your lawn, if allowed to remain to grow, will go to seed, and soon it will crowd out and kill the grass of the entire lawn, making it nothing else than a dandelion patch. And so it is with evil thoughts, evil thinking. However, if we encourage and if we cultivate the seeds of good thoughts, they will produce more and more of the good fruitage of Christian character. We know that many of the evil thoughts, brethren, come from the adversary. And so we know what happened to Mother Eve. Temptation means that Satan had offered us a seed to plant, but in God's strength, we should refuse to entertain or allow it to take lodgment in our minds. In Philippians, we find there are 6 points that Paul brings out to us, what we are to think about. And we'd like to go over them with you. First of all, he says, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. What does this mean? This means that anything which is not true should not be entertained in our minds. I'm sure you've had that problem, because I have had it too. And so we should be careful about thinking untrue thoughts respecting God. This may lead to doubt. And so the thought may suggest itself to us that possibly, well, God will forsake us. We may fail to supply us with grace to help in time of need. He may fail to cover us with the robe of Christ's righteousness, but what would be the result of entertaining such thoughts? The result is sure to be the growth of doubt. And these doubts would continue to grow until, if not weeded out of the garden of our minds, they would cause us to lose the loss of God's favor. That's why Paul said in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Sometimes in our consecrated life, a thought will come to our mind, am I really running for the prize of the high calling? That is an evil thought planted by Satan. And so we want it uprooted. We want to destroy it. If we plant truthful thoughts of God, they will develop faith. We can be strengthened by meditating upon the thought that God gave us His Bible for the very purpose of encouraging us. It gave us a measure of the Holy Spirit. The second point that Paul brings out, he says, whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. Well, to the world, honesty is simply a matter of dollars and cents. But to the Watergate, it wasn't that way. But to the children of God, to you and I, honesty means more than that. It is a glorious quality which affects our whole relationship to God as well as to each other. It should be honest in our use of the truth. We should be honest in carrying out of our consecration vows. It is dishonest to make a vow to God and not pay it. And that's what Paul means. It will not do for us to say, well, we are sorry that we made that vow and didn't break it. This is dishonesty. And the Scriptures tell us that it is better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5. The third point that Paul brings out is whatsoever things are just. Think on these things. It is not just to think that God looks at some good motive in our hearts when we're not willing to grant that others have a good motive in their hearts. Did you ever have that problem? I did. And so the Lord taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we do not forgive their trespasses in harmony with our praying, we are not just. It is like saying, Lord, you make believe that you have forgiven my trespasses because that is the way I'm going to do it towards others. And so the Lord said that we should pray that we enter not into temptation. The fourth point that Paul brings out, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. And so we're going to try and think on something that's pure. It means that we will entertain impure thoughts out of our minds, out of these gardens. Number five, he says, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. And how careful we are to be to think on lovely thoughts. Number six, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. If we follow the suggestions, brethren, of our text, if we follow them faithfully, looking to God for grace and strength to help, keeping our minds centered upon His thoughts, and in turn, our bodies, our minds will be engaged in doing His work, and brethren, how glorious the result will be. We will have beautiful, clean gardens, beautiful, clean fields, straight rows. They'll be lovely to look at. And so the victory, brethren, depends upon proper thinking. And brethren, let us continue then to have those thoughts of God in our minds, because it'll help us, it'll bring us forth, it'll bear fruit to the honor and glory of His great name. And brethren, let's not forget, if we are faithful unto the end, He will grant us the privilege to serve God throughout all eternity. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Ken.